Welcome to Ray and Tay.
Who's Bob?
Let's play the play game. I love you more.
Hey, hey, it's Wednesday, that's hump day, and that's Thanksgiving Eve, if that even makes sense. But Ray and Tay. This is Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, that's Tall Rayside.
What's up, man? I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and boy, is it a Thanksgiving Eve. It seems like, well, everybody except for two teams are playing in the NBA. College basketball, we got the football. It's just exciting time as we wind down in a football season. So join us on this show. You want to give us a ring? We're a little bit later tonight, so, you know, people are awake and cooking. So hit us up, 718-664-9098. You can Facebook us, tweet us at Ray and Tay Today, and then also shoot us an email. We love reading your emails. We try to get them on the air, and that's RAEANDTAY today at gmail.com. Ray, take it over, playa.
Well, we got a juicy show tonight, a lot of basketball, a lot of football. So let me tell you what we got. We've got some breaking news. We're going to go through some breaking news, some tragic news in the world of boxing. We got some stuff going on in football and basketball. We're going to talk about some college basketball. There's a lot of Thanksgiving-related tournaments last night and tonight. We're going to go through some NBA for you. The NBA season is starting to kick into gear. And then we'll go... Yep, then we'll go through this Monday night preview. We'll review that massacre that happened on Monday night. Took most of us by surprise. And then we'll end the show with a preview of the three, count them, one, two, three Thanksgiving games. All of them are really excellent games and have, you know, either great teams, one great team or a rivalry or something. So two rivalry games and maybe the best team in the AFC going on. So some great, great topics today. Thanks for joining us, and it's Wednesday.
Yeah, we're kind of spoiled, right? You know, we Americans, we just Thanksgiving, three games for the sports fans, men or women. You gotta love Thanksgiving because it's like you're eating and you're watching football. What else is better? Have some nice eggnog, maybe with some Southern Comfort in it if you're chilling, and just relax and enjoy the games. So, I mean, you know, look, Ray and Tay, we love to look out and be charitable and do different things. I got to give a shout-out to Ray, who's doing some big things today in Far Rockaway, you know, helping out some people in need for Thanksgiving. But, you know, that area was hit real hard. So, Ray, why don't you tell people real quick before we get into the breaking news what
you
were doing, man?
Yeah, I just helped out, right? I was just a hand and a cog in the wheel. But there was some good things going on. Fairways, the local grocery here, donated some food. I think the mayor's office was involved a little bit. Shout out to Hank and Ashley. Ashley really put it together. Got some volunteers to go out there, and we cooked some food for a few hundred people in a couple different locations today and tomorrow. So, you know, for people out in Far Rockaway that, don't have what they had before, and if we could just give them a little meal, warm them up a little bit tonight, tomorrow, good home cooked meal, Thanksgiving, happy to help, happy to bring a smile, especially to the kids.
The reality is, some people, and I know you know this. I mean, obviously, I'm a New Yorker, and now I'm out here out west, but a lot of New Yorkers lost their kitchens and their homes, and some people still might not have power, so that's a big thing, you know?
Yeah, you take little things for granted, right, in Western society, you know, like hot water, drinkable water, the ability to cook, all kinds of stuff that you just think, oh, yeah, that's a basic, you know, it's not really that big a deal. You just take it for granted. So, but sometimes it is, and especially as it's getting colder here on the East Coast. Today was actually a nice day, But I'm sure it's going to get bitter in November and December, and a lot of the folks in New York, New Jersey area hit by Sandy, you know, the winter's coming. So
yeah,
we're just trying to do a little bit.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's a good thing, man. On a sad note, though, man, it looks like we have lost a boxing legend. Hector Macho Camacho was shot in the face in a car. Him and his friend was killed, and Hector, you know, is on life support, was shot in the face in Puerto Rico. And for those who don't know, I mean, he won two different division titles. I think it was light welterweight and a super bantamweight. And Hector Macho Camacho was he was electrifying when he fought. He had the crazy outfits, he had the gold trunks, he had the flares, he had like little things coming off his shorts, he had the leopard skin, he had
yeah,
everything.
He was like
the
Puerto Rican USC Trojans. He was
Yeah, man. But you know what I love? He definitely represented his culture, his homeland, Puerto Rico, and he was just great for boxing and was in the time where, you know, right now boxing is not as big. Boxing in the 80s used to be everything, and he was a big part of it. So, I mean, right now I guess they're waiting for his mom. You know, I don't know if they announced the official word, but he's on life support, and it looks like we've lost a great champion. And so I'd just like to send out a rest in peace, you know, to the Camacho family, and it's just horrible. It's just horrible. But let's try to bring it up, right? Thanksgiving's a good time. We got some good stuff. Let's talk about, I guess we still got some more injuries. Your boy, Blaine Gabbert, quarterback from Missouri, quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars, was placed on IR, having surgery on his non-throwing shoulder, and has an injury in the elbow of his throwing arm. And he's out for the season. The same thing with wide receiver Lauren Robinson. And the Jaguars are going with Henny, right? He had a big game, those four TDs, and we might not see Gabbert anymore in Jacksonville. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, he's in his second year, but he hasn't really been turning heads. So we'll see how he comes back off this injury, and let's see what the Jaguars do. Look, I wasn't a huge Gabbert fan, but you definitely don't want to go out like this. You definitely don't want to go out.
And Henny's young enough, right? Henny's young enough that you can go with him if you believe in him.
If you believe in him, look, he had some chances in Miami, and he even had some chances in Jacksonville, and he didn't blow anybody away. But now he's strings together 1, 2, 3 good games, then maybe looking at next year, then he's the guy. And then a healthy MJD, some support from the receivers, you know, Cecil Shorts stepping up, and maybe if Robinson is healthy all year, and it looks like Blackman, you know, had his great breakout game, so maybe he can start producing more regularly. So
ask
maybe
the Texans what they think about Henny.
Yeah.
The Texans are like, yo, he's a number one stunner.
They got
Jeff,
drunk
Henny's
on some Henny right there. They were drunk on Henny.
Get some Henrock, yo. Let's get out the Henny. I'm going to tell you this. Fantasy football, right? Let's keep it real. The playoff push, in all my leagues, I got to win the last 2 weeks. But I picked Chad Henny up because I don't know what's going to happen with Jay Cutler. So.
Chad Henne, and what do you think about the backup running back in Denver, who now is the starting running
Ronnie
back?
Hillman. Ronnie Hillman's a hero
Ronnie
to
Hillman,
most. I'm trying to get Hillman, too.
Here. Yeah.
You know, I was able in one of my leagues to pick up Marcel Reese. I couldn't believe he was out there, so I scooped him, but most leagues he's gone. So, really, the only people you could pick up, like, right now are Hillman, maybe Lance Ball. Some people are taking a, you know, chance on you know, Daniel Thomas, since he's getting more carries from Bush. But slim pickings right now. So, you know, you gotta go with what you can go with, picking up guys. And also, we're listening to Gahee. He is out for 8 weeks because he's on the IR where you can bring him back. So if the Broncos get to the AFC Championship game, he'll be eligible for that game. So, which is very possible. But Hillman and these guys are going to have to step up. Maybe we'll even see your boy, your fantasy draft of a couple of years ago, Knowshon Moreno might finally be a
Knowshon. Pride of Georgia.
No,
I
call him No-Show. I call him No-Show.
He really has been No-Show Moreno. I agree with that. I had him as doing bigger things, but yeah, no Sean.
Well,
listen,
even worse news, right? This freaking guy, the Lakers just hosed the Sixers. Andrew Bynum, it turns out that with rest, he won't come back now till March, which is past the trade deadline. And if he has surgery, he'll be out for a year. So whatever he did in re-injuring his leg or knee in bowling, it's a mess. I mean, March? That's ridiculous. He's ridiculous.
I hate to see those guys that suffer from the injuries. So is he going to go down with Greg Oden and Sam Bowie and all these big men who never reached their potential because of injury? We'll see. He's still a young guy. What is he, like 23, 24? He's still relatively young, or absolutely young. So I haven't written him off, but he lost himself a lot of money. So I hope it was worth it. I hope at least he threw some strikes, because that's going to cost him a lot of money if, in fact, he did get hurt bowling. You never know, though. Some of these stories are shady, right? Players get hurt.
Oh, no, I mean, listen.
These stories.
I spoke to Malik Rose the other night, a former Knicks and Spurs, and he works with the Sixers now, and he sounded, you know, and shout out to Edgar and Ricky on H2G Radio, but he sounded kind of skeptical about whether or not, you know, that he really injured at bowling. And you just don't know, right? Nobody's got these cameras on these guys 24/7. So anyway, whatever. I don't even want to. But listen, I got some interesting other news. The Red Sox have said they're probably going to go after Nick Swisher. What do you think about that?
Swishy Swish. Well, what people forget is that Nick Swisher came to the Yankees to be the utility outfielder. Xavier Nady was supposed to be the right fielder, and Nick Swisher was supposed to be the utility outfielder. So for a utility outfielder, we got three very good years out of him. We got a championship. We got two good years. Look, his numbers are pretty good. It's just that in the postseason, especially the last 2 years, he's been terrible. So thank you, Nick Swisher. He livened up the locker room. He made it a little less, you know, kind of stoic, like the Yankees were too serious, and we had, what, 4 years, right? 99 or 2009.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he was a good
10,
Yankee.
11,
you can't knock
4
him.
Years. No, no, no. I love Nick Swisher. Nick Swisher's great. I tip my hat off to Nick Swisher, and thank you for your service. I just think the Yankees need to get younger, and they need to get clutcher, if that's a word.
Well, and he wants too much money. That's the real issue,
money.
Too.
And somebody will pay him. Look, if you plug his number, remember the George Michael sports machine? If you plug his number into the George Michael sports machine, he probably deserves the money he's asking for. But the Yankees need to get more dynamic and younger, and he doesn't provide either of that, and he's not clutch in the playoffs. So you can't have Nick Swisher on your team, especially when your other outfielders could potentially be Curtis Granderson and Brett Gardner. So I just think you need more pop in the outfield. So, I wish Nick Swisher all the best. And Nick Swisher really is a great addition to a lineup. Look, his stats are a little bit inflated because he played in New York, and he played sometimes he hit in the two position, you know, between Jeter and Teixeira, or Jeter and Cano, or A-Rod. And sometimes he hit at the bottom, you know, in that fifth, sixth, seventh slot, where he also had a lot of
base runners. Sometimes he just didn't hit at all, like the playoffs.
Well, and sometimes he just didn't hit. And that's probably the biggest reason why he's not a Yankee. But again, nothing wrong with Nick Swisher on your team. If you can carry Nick Swisher, he's a positive addition to any team. So I just think the Yankees need to move on, but so does Nick. You know, so you part as friends, and maybe at some point he'll come back. Maybe he'll be, you know, a utility role player in a few years. But right now, Knicks. I keep saying the Knicks. I got the Knicks on my mind, though. We got to talk about the
Knicks.
That's
right, and we're going to talk about that, man. Let's forget this baseball stuff, man. And also, you know, we'll see what happens with Pettit. He might want too much money. But let's talk about some of this college basketball. I mean, last night, I know you were at the semifinal games. You were at the early game, UCLA against
Georgia. The consolation
game,
yeah. The consolation game and the final game of the,
yeah.
I guess it's the inaugural Progressive Classic at the Barclays Center. So
yeah, Barclays,
let me tell you,
Barclays they've had a couple of tournaments this year already.
Yeah, they're filling it up. I give them credit. I saw that first game, UCLA-Georgia, and I saw those two rookies up close and personal, Kyle Anderson and Javon Muhammad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I got to tell you, first of all, Joshua Smith, the big center for UCLA, only played 16 minutes. He's the most disappointing because, to me,
I thought he could have been an NBA player.
He should be dominating college basketball. So that was observation number one. Observation number two, you know, Kyle Anderson is a heck of a, like, savvy basketball player. He's not a great athlete, though. He's 6'9". He can do a lot of things with the ball. So he's fun to watch, but he's not your thoroughbred. Now, I hope
he's more like a passing
college.
Forward, right?
He's a passing forward.
Like a point forward.
Yeah, he's got the build of a Sean Livingston, but he's got kind of the mentality of a Magic. He's not quite an offensive threat yet, and he can't really shoot. But he does things around the basket. He rebounds. They play small a lot, so he's playing power forward sometimes at 6'9", even though, you know, he's kind of a point forward. So he was definitely fun to watch. But their guy is Shabazz Muhammad. I mean, he didn't start the first game. He did start the second game. Second game, he goes 6-for-12 from the field, scores 21 points, pulls down 4 rebounds. Again, he projects to the NBA to be kind of a 2-3, and he was playing bigger in college. So he's playing kind of small forward, power forward in college. But he's real athletic, and he's lefty, so he's left-handed. So he's a little bit, you know, awkward in a good way.
Which makes Ray happy because Ray's a lefty.
Yeah,
Ray loves
exactly.
Those lefties.
Oh,
keep
yeah,
real.
Kenny Anderson, my man, that, like, silky, shifty lefty. So, yeah, Shabazz Muhammad is, as a freshman, he looks like he's pretty good. He's probably going to be a top-5 pick. In that second game, UCLA eventually took care of business. You know, I would argue Georgia played him a little too close. The problem with UCLA is they don't have any offensive continuity, and Ben Hallen needs to kind of get these guys to work together and kind of feel each other out because their offensive flow just didn't look very good. So in the second game, we had Georgetown against the number one team against Indiana.
Yeah.
And, you know, Georgetown played them very well. They ended up losing by 10 in overtime, but it was much closer than that.
They were balling.
The threes were just flying. I mean, it was just raining threes. Indiana shot 10-for-17 from three, 59%. And Georgetown shot a very impressive 11-for-26, 42% from three. So it was just flying. And, you know, Starks looked good and Otto Porter looked good for Georgetown.
I love Starks and Otto Porter. Hey, by the way, Otto Porter, he's going to have to be in our next all-name thing because that's a
Otto.
Great name right there.
Otto.
Otto.
So, but the thing with the Hoosiers was impressive is they had a lot of balance. If you look at their box score, so Watford scored 10, Zeller scored 17, Hull scored 17, Oladipo scored 12, Yogi, the point guard, scored 14.
Oh, he's nice, Yogi Freeman. And he hit all those clutch free throws in overtime, man.
Yeah, he was. He was 9-for-11 in the game for a freshman, Yogi. But here's my thing. Cody Zeller was the number one player coming into the year. He was the consensus first-team All-American, consensus preseason player of the year. He's not that good. He needs to – I mean, he's a fine college basketball player, but he's no Anthony Davis. I mean, this guy did not really make his presence felt. Now, Georgetown is long, but they're not really big. So you would think Cody Zeller could do some things in the post. Now, he was the leading scorer or tied for the leading scorer, but he only shot 4-for-11 from the field. He had 8 rebounds, but again, some of those numbers are padded, 9-for-13 free throws. Some of those numbers are padded because they played a 5-minute overtime. So I've needed to see Cody Zeller be a little bit more assertive and more impressive in terms of his physical stature and his presence being 6'10", 6'11", on the court.
Right, but all this, Zeller, I think you're being a little too harsh on him. I think he's very talented. I think he's only, what, he's only a sophomore. And, you know, the other Zellers who are in the NBA, Luke with Phoenix and our boy from North Carolina, Tyler,
boy,
with the Cavs, they all have that long, slender frame. They're all great hands and talented. And I think Cody might even be, and that's why he gets so much love, just as talented as Tyler, if not better, and probably will make the NBA. But I just think he'll have to stay at least 3 years. He needs to get bigger. He's just not big enough yet. But you can't teach that height. He can run the floor. He's got good hands. And
no, I'm saying
think
he's a very talented player. You can tell he's gifted, and he's a talented guy. My only problem was, again, it's the expectations game, right? He came in as a first-team All-American, you know, number one pick in the draft, projected college player of the year, and you got to be a little more dominant. Now, granted, it's only the beginning of the season, and there's still a lot more basketball left for him to play. So Indiana is 5-0.
Let him bang around in the Big Ten for a little bit.
Exactly.
And we'll
see.
Let those Michigan State boys bang him up a little bit. Now, listen, you know what pissed me off? I'm not going to talk about it too much because I definitely want to talk about some of these NBA games. But our number nine Tar Heels lose to Butler. But what killed me about it, right, they had such an early lead. We lose 82-71. But what was frustrating, right, there was no leadership, not Hairston, not Bullock, not McAdoo. Everybody was just sort of haphazard, and we could not defend any ball screens. So they would screen up at the top, right? And then our guy wouldn't cut over. He didn't go under or behind, nothing. And then they would have the wide open three. They hit 12 three-pointers on us. And, you know, then we made a great run, but it was too little too late. And to me, you know, they won tonight over Chaminade, killed them by like 30 or whatever. But I just worry. I mean, I'm not saying this is supposed to be a big Tar Heel team, and I don't think it will be. We lost a lot of good talent. And as a Tar Heel fan, you just feel like every year you're going to reload. But I don't know if I like our overall team. And it's so funny because you saw some of our bum players like Larry Drew and the Ware brothers over at UCLA. They all transferred over there.
Right.
And they still have no game too, right?
No game. Yeah, these guys they're not Carolina material. So they transferred and everybody's happier, so that's good. They were both LA kids. The Ware kids were from LA, and Drew, you know, has a lot of pressure cuz his dad was a NBA player and so forth. But
coaching.
Yeah, Carolina, look, we're also spoiled. It's hard to lose three first-round picks. Right? Barnes,
unless you're Kentucky.
Henson, Zeller. Yeah, that's true. Barnes, Henson, Zeller, and Williams. It's hard to lose all of those people and still have a team, especially in November. So give them a couple months. They're probably not a top-10 team, but maybe they're a top-20 team. Give him a couple months.
It's all on McAdoo. He has to be sort of that, you know, Naismith player and really step up and be that leader. But I'll tell you this, man. Give Brad Stevens and his Bulldogs, the Butler Bulldogs, some credit. They know how to play basketball. And he's one heck of a coach. You know, I think one thing you realize with college basketball, and you see it with Tom Izzo at Michigan State, it's all about the coach and the program, right? Good recruiting, but good coaching will sort of, you know, get you to that place where you can take whatever talent and develop them and make them into, you know, some serious players. I mean, I like what he's doing with this kid. He's got Kellen Durham. And the Clark kid, Ronnie Clark, you know what I mean? They got some talent, you know. So it'll be interesting to see, like, right now I know Pitt and Michigan are playing. Now, Michigan, they got some thoroughbreds. That Big Ten, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, a couple of weeks ago.
Pitt's going to be up at the half. Yeah, Pitt's up six right now.
Well, listen, it's Trey versus Trey, right? They got their Trey at the point. And then
Trey
Michigan's
Burke.
Trey Burks. Tim Hardaway Jr., and this will warm your heart, Glenn Rice Jr., who is supposed to be, you know, projected to be like a late lottery pick if he comes out. Yo, that's Big Dog's little man. How crazy is that, yo?
It's crazy that we're seeing people's kids. I mean, Patrick Ewing Jr. at Georgetown, Timmy Hardaway Jr. We got all the juniors coming out. Oh, it's just when we saw their fathers play.
But listen,
in college and in the pros.
Right, but for people that don't know, they need to go. You know, now you can go on YouTube or Google a player, look up their highlights. Don't even look at the Milwaukee Bucks with Big Dog. Go to Purdue. Go see what Big Dog Glenn Robinson did at Purdue. He was ridiculous, okay? That year, he could have got Rookie of the Year, but it went with the tie like I projected this year, went with a tie with Jason Kidd and Grant Hill. But Big Dog was no joke. That was a great class that came in together, you know, rookie class in the NBA. So, but let's talk about last night. Number one, of course, New Orleans, you know, they didn't have Anthony Davis. Spike Lee was down there. He's filming a movie, you know, bigging up the Knicks. You know, they kind of just blew out New Orleans, and the Knicks went to 8-1 and are in a battle now, you know, with Dallas to go 9-1. And
yeah,
the
Dallas
Knicks
looks
just
like they're doing big things. They're up 10.
Yeah, they're up 10. So we'll see what happens. But I got to tell you, number one, I have to laugh. They had a poster, the Dallas Maverick fans saying no kids allowed. So that was kind of funny and creative. But Jason Kidd, listen, they need to show him love because he was a big key.
He brought them
him
a
and
championship.
Chandler.
I mean, you know, obviously
he brought you a chip.
He was the key, but Jason
Kidd. Yeah, but Cuban, listen, Cuban needed Kidd and
team.
Chandler to get it done, right? You know,
yeah,
so
that's true.
But I will say this: what I thought was kind of cool. Jason Kidd hit his first three pointer. His first shot was a 3-point shot, so that was kind of cool. But you know, let me say this about the Knicks real quick, right? Because I definitely want to get to that Laker net game. But do you know the Knicks are number one in three-pointers in the league, per, you know, three-pointers made per game. And then number one
in the
league.
I don't know that that's sustainable, though, because if you look
No, but listen. This is what is sustainable, though. And I just want to segue to the difference of, you know, who they play on Friday, Houston, right? Then they have the least amount of turnovers. Last year we were 29th in turnovers. This year we're number one.
Well, that's beautiful.
So
I love that.
That's incredible. And that goes to Kidd and Felton and Priglione and to having a real point guard. And you know, you and I both always talk about this because we had our issues with Charlie Ward back in the days, Rory Sparrow. Yo, it's all about a point guard. And when you have a real point guard, that's what could happen. And the three-point shots are because of the point guard, because Felton's getting penetration, the double team in Melo, we're penetrating and, you know, kick and pop, you know, penetrate and pop, and that's why we get a lot of wide-open three-point shots. Listen, Novak and Brewer and Smith, they're not just chucking it up. These guys are getting wide-open threes. And a lot of it is because of Felton penetrating, Kidd savvy, and Melo. So give them credit, man. They're earning that, you know?
Yeah, and I think that the rotate. Look, ultimately, it's going to come down to the way the coach handles the rotation. Right, the way Mike Woodson handles the rotation, especially when Iman Shumpert and Amari come back. So it's going to be a blessing, and it's going to be a lot of riches on his team. They're not all superstars, but we have a pretty deep team now when these two come back. So it's a matter of Woodson getting people minutes, keeping people happy, and getting some kind of continuity, and then shortening that roster because you really can only go with eight or so in the playoffs. So he's going to have to make some decisions. Now, injuries, especially because we're an old team, injuries might make that job easy for him because when Shumpert and Amari come back, somebody else might get injured. But for now, you know, we're playing great, and 8-1 going into tonight's game, probably lose to Dallas, so go to 8-2. But, who would have thunk it? Best record in 40 years.
It's great. You know,
I love
it's
so, yeah, so let's talk about the other team in New York, the other participant at the Barclays.
Well, they were one of
the
hottest teams.
Road.
Right, they were one of the hottest teams in the NBA, and they fly out to LA to meet the new head coach Mike D'Antoni and the Lakers.
Mike D'Antoni led Los Angeles.
Yes, definitely. It's I think it's going to be a good fit. But you know what was interesting? I'm going to tell you this, right? I mean, the game was, you know, 95-90, went down to the wire. Both teams had a low scoring for fourth quarter. It was 19-17, Lakers. But what I found interesting was, one, you know, you saw how Lopez definitely could hold his own with Dwight and score. And that's what we know him to be. You know, he's not a big rebounder. Evans, you know, is just like the man off the bench with the defense and the rebounding. But,
although he did get his first flopping, though.
Yes, we got to talk about that. $5,000 fine for flopping. So that's the first one. And what you've noticed is that nobody's really doing that flopping stuff. You know, I didn't see which play it was, but you know, hey, you sometimes, you know, guys take a chance. But what I like to see is that your boy Dwight Howard, he had a big time game, 23.
15, 3 assists, a steal, and 4 blocks. Dwight Howard is playing the ball.
Anything less, though? I mean, if he's healthy, Dwight Howard is the man.
Well, yeah, you know, I think it's kind of foolish for people like Shaquille O'Neal to try to play like he's not the best center in the NBA and trying to say European this and that, whatever. Dwight Howard is a man-child, and especially in this NBA. But what I was going to say is that Kobe is sort of playing like a little bit, you know, because they just have Morris at the point with all these injuries to Blake and Nash. Kobe's playing like a little bit of point. And sometimes when Kobe is the facilitator of the offense, he does better in the sense of, you know, trusting his teammates. And he even said that in postgame. He's like, I wanted to show guys, you know, that I trust them. There's no panic here in L.A. and, you know, we're going to get it together. And so I think that was good. My issue is at the end of the game, like one of the clutch plays, like it's a jump shot from Deron Williams. Now, he had 22, 4 rebounds, 10 assists, you know, steal, D-Will's the man. But you want to be able to go inside. And if you can't go inside to Wallace or to Lopez at clutch moments in a game, that's where I think the Brooklyn Nets will have a hard time in any type of series. They can get the 3rd to 5th seed in the East, but when you have to play against bigger teams, where are they going to get their clutch shot from, you know?
It's going to have to come from the outside. It's going to have to come from Deron Williams or Joe Johnson. Although, I will take my hat off to Brook Lopez. I mean, you know, he's playing as well as Brook Lopez can play, right? He's not going to be a 22-13 guy like a Dwight Howard, but he's an 18-6.5, 18-7 guy, which, you know, that is what he is. And he does give you size. The one thing I'm worried about, so I get you on the defensive toughness with Brook Lopez and rebound, and also the you know, offensively getting easy baskets. You know, want in the pros to be able to dump the ball inside in a traditional slow down offensive set and get some scores in the playoffs. That's going to be hard. It's going to come from the backcourt, which means almost by definition it's going to be a jumper. So that's a very good
or
point.
Off a pick, a penetration. Right. You know,
but it'll be created by one of the guards. It might be finished by one of the forwards or Brook Lopez, but it'll be created by the guards. So that the offense is not going to come from the forwards, or, you know, from the front court. But as far as the Lakers go, they got to get Nash back soon because, you know, Kobe went for 39 minutes. And
no,
so did Gasol and Meta.
And
Dwight Howard went for 41 minutes. I mean, that's just way too many minutes in what is it, game 11. Of the NBA season, especially for a team that wants to go deep into the playoffs.
But they also got to play their bench more, right? Listen, you got to rely on Jamison, Jordan,
and Earl Clark.
Jamison,
I mean, can play.
Jordan Hill. You know, I like
Jamison
Jordan Hill.
Jamison only played 9 minutes.
Yeah.
Jordan Hill played 17.
I guess they figure, you know, maybe the lineup and stuff. But you know what I don't like? I don't like when, you know, like Humphreys, he shot 2 for 10. Well, maybe Humphreys shouldn't be getting that many shots. You know, Wallace 2 for 7. I mean, that's like, ugh, you know, I don't know if I want those guys shooting it that many times because to me, Joe, you know, 6 for 16, maybe Joe should get a couple of those shots. You know, I don't know, but I mean, it's just nitpicking and stuff. But the one thing I would say is that they don't have enough scoring. Now, look, Blatch, some games he can score a lot. You know, I mean, it happened in Sacramento the other night when he went off and had like over 20. But it's just one of those things where I just think this team is going to have some fundamental issues with scoring and scoring inside. If you know, when it comes down to it, the hard baskets, because Evans is not any offensive threat, and you're not going to get much from Childress because he's sort of like a 3-4 tweener. So his scoring is more athletic and awkwardness. You know who's got like a nice inside matchup for scoring? I like the Phoenix Suns. Gortat, Beasley, and Sciola. All three of them can score around the basket.
And their games are so different. So their games are just totally different, but they each get it done in their own way. Luis Scola is more of the classic, you know, power forward. And be easy. If his head is right, he's a tough matchup. I mean, he can take
he's
you outside. He can shoot inside. He's a lefty. You know my lefties. My lefties give people trouble.
Hey, your boy came back tonight, man. At the half, he had 16-6. Your boy Kevin Love has returned to the NBA. So shout out to him. The Timberwolves need him, right? Because Budinger's now out for the season.
Fantasy. You know that was my number one pick. I stored him. I stashed him.
Well, listen, you better start playing him because K Love is back. But what's interesting about this team, with all the injuries, they've played pretty good ball. So I give them a shout out. Your boy Nowitzki with Dallas, they might beat us tonight, but they're 6-6. So Dirk won't be back till mid-December, so still a couple more weeks. But having Kevin Love back, and Rubio will be back in a month or so. But they also signed Josh Howard. So I thought that was kind of interesting, who was just a free agent out there. And Mikal Pirtus is still out there. I can't imagine why he is. But
oh, wow. You didn't tell me Kevin Love. Did you see the box? I'm just pulling up the box score as we speak. Kevin Love at 34-14 tonight.
There you go. Well, I said 16-6 at the half. He's a beast, yo. This is what I was telling. Remember our show, our NBA preview show, when we had Anthony Donahue on. What did I say? I said Kevin Love is one of those guys.
Yeah,
well,
you and I agreed. Look, he was my number one pick in fantasy, but putting fantasy aside, real basketball, he's the man. I think Anthony was not really considering him a top-notch power forward, and I said, not only is he a top-notch power forward, he's a top-notch NBA player, period. End of sentence.
Yeah.
This guy
Well, he was on the Dream Team for a reason, right? He's talented.
Yeah,
he's definitely
the real deal.
Yeah. Yeah, but, and it's good to see, him, Kirilenko, Williams, Peklovic. I mean, we'll see what happens. They definitely need Rubio, but Minnesota and Phoenix and Golden State, man, those teams are going to be interesting. That Western Conference, the bottom half with the Warriors, Utah, Portland, that is going to be a battle for those last playoff spots. I tell you, it's going to be exciting. So why don't we take a quick break and let's do it, man. Let's take the plunge and jump into the NFL.
Football.
And we'll be right back, Ray and Tay.
A tornado flew around my room before you came. Excuse the mess it made. It usually doesn't rain in Southern California, much like Arizona. My eyes don't shed tears before they pour when I'm thinking about you.
That's what I'm singing to the turkey. I've been thinking about you. Oh, turkey, I will eat you tomorrow. I'm hyped up, man.
I'm like the stuffing. I'm like the turkey's nice, but I like everything else. I like the stuffing.
No,
the
turkey is
gravy,
like sort of the ice cream on the top, right?
Which
that's,
is funny
that's
because that's what everybody
is.
Talks about. Everybody's like, oh, Turkey Day. It's all about the turkey and the turkey. And
oh,
turkey.
Yeah, no. I'm with you.
The
mac and cheese.
The yams, the gravy.
The candy yams. I know you remember sometimes when you would come over for Thanksgiving. I know you remember Mom Dukes used to throw down on the mac and cheese.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Mac and cheese was serious. But that's those candied yams, the mac and cheese. Oh, my goodness. I don't even want to. Look. Well, before we preview these three fantastic, I think it's going to be just a great football day, right? It's very entertaining.
Got to talk about the massacre.
Well, look, we both picked the Bears. Even our caller, Hank, had called in. He felt the Bears, Jason Campbell. But the one thing we didn't take in consideration, the Bears, Cowboys, and Eagles have offensive lines that are Division II type quality right now. Whether it's injuries or play or just lack of talent, that Bears offensive line, poor Jason Campbell, he couldn't even plant his back leg, Ray, for a 3 or 5-step drop. I mean,
he was sacked 6 times.
Yeah, and Alden Smith had 5. He's leading the NFL with 15.5 sacks. I mean, it's crazy. I felt bad. You felt bad for the Bears. They couldn't get anything going. They couldn't get Forte. They couldn't get – and then, listen, poor I forgot to say, Alshon Jeffrey, he comes back and is a nice receiver weapon from South Carolina. He got hurt and is probably going to be out for the rest of the season. So he comes back for one game, and he didn't even make it through the game.
Yeah,
but he's
tough
out.
Rookie year.
And right now, Jay Cutler, there's no guarantee he's going to start the Minnesota game. He still hasn't passed through all the tests. He was on the practice field today, but no contact. So we'll see what happens with that. But shout out to the Niners. And listen to me. You got to go with the veteran.
And Colin Kaepernick is not just a a change of pace quarterback. I mean, this kid looks like he can play. And listen, I'm not 100% sold on Alex Smith, so San Francisco might have a problem.
Would you bench him? Is that what you're saying? You would bench Alex Smith?
It's
Remember,
2 weeks
ago, he just went 19 for 20.
Right. It's hard to bench a guy that took you to the NFC Championship game, and if it wasn't for two special teams muffs, would have been in the championship, in the Super Bowl. Can you imagine? We almost had a Joe Flacco, Alex Smith Super Bowl, and theoretically both teams should have been in there, right? If they if they catch that, you know, if Torrey Smith catches the ball in the end zone, or
it's
if they make
things
the,
happen.
Yeah, it didn't take, you know, moving mountains for it to be an Alex Smith, Joe Flacco champion, you know, Super Bowl. But having said that, I don't know. This kid Kaepernick, man, he's a player.
Is he special?
I don't know that he's
special,
but he's quality and he's a change of pace. So, you know, I think it's still.
I think
Alex
he throws it deeper down the field though, and can open up the offense. You know, I think he can throw it a little bit more accurate, deeper down the field. Plus his running, and so to me, that's what can make him special. But here's your one argument, right, Alex Smith, not just with his record and this and that, but even, you know, listen, they got all these stats, but quarterback rating, he's 104.1. He's fourth in the league, so he's ahead of Brady, but he's only behind Rodgers, Manning, and no, I'm sorry, he's third. Rodgers, Manning, and then Alex Smith. Brady's fourth, and Robert Griffin III is fifth with 101. So to me, you know, he's had some bad games against the Giants, right? But, hey, he beat Green Bay week one. He went up against Aaron Rodgers and out-dueled him, right?
Right.
I don't know. It's hard for me to say who I'd go with. That's a hard one. Harbaugh's got his hands full with that decision. He's definitely got his hands full. But, listen, the Niners are going to New Orleans. And we'll talk about that on Friday as we preview these games. But it's going to be interesting. We'll see what happens and how it plays out. So let's talk about game one. You wake up tomorrow morning, check out ESPN or NFL Network, or you know, the early game will be on CBS, you know, and you're checking out the Texans and the Detroit Lions. My first thought: the Lions should have beat the Packers, and when they didn't. And then, you know, for disciplinary reasons, they sent home Titus Young and the other kid, Broles, will step up from Oklahoma. I just think the team is a mess. They get back two defenders, Corey Williams is coming back, and the one of their corners. But I just don't trust the Lions right now. And that Texans, they're not playing like the Colts or the Jaguars at home on Monday on Thursday. You know, this is the Texans. And the Texans, they play grown man ball. And I know that the Lions are good at stopping the run, but right now Schaub is so hot that maybe that's okay. You know? Maybe that is okay, and maybe they're like, hey, you could stop our run because we want to pass it on you and hit up Andre Johnson and do our thing. Oh, by the way, the Knicks lost 113-106. Ugh. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Miami won over Milwaukee in overtime, 113-106. Okay.
Yeah, well, I think that ultimately, well, here, let's give the viewers, the listeners, a Knicks score. It's 108-103 right now with 2:56 left. Dallas is up 108-103. But back to Houston. I think the worst thing to happen to Detroit was the fact that Houston was taken to overtime by Jacksonville. I think they got their wake-up call. I think their D is going to be focused on the shore and, more importantly, Calvin Johnson. And I think they're going to have to – Broyles is going to have to beat them. They're going to have to beat them with the secondary, with their secondary punch, you know, with the offhand. They're not going to beat them with the right. They're going to have to be, you know, left jab, left hook, because I think Houston had a wake-up call. And you know Houston's going to put up their points, right? So, to me, this game is going to be an offensive shootout. And if Detroit thinks they're going to win this game, they're going to have to put up 35. I mean, I really think that Houston, with no problems, could put up 31 on this team, if not more. So, primetime game, first game, national TV game. Of course, Detroit's used to playing this turkey game, but Houston is still a little bit under the radar screen in terms of, you know, people are saying that New England, especially if Gronkowski gets back in time for the playoffs, New England's dynamic. And, you know, obviously Pittsburgh and Baltimore have always been the class of the AFC, you know, for the past 5 to 10 years. So everybody's in the AFC and Denver now, you know, Peyton Manning's getting a lot of love. And Houston's saying, wait a minute, you know, we're all that and the chicken fat. So give us some love. So I think this is their time on national TV to show that they've got skills and they've got what it takes, and they're not a fluky 9-1. They're, again, they're Ray's pick to be in the Super Bowl. So I think Houston wins this game. I think their combination of running Arian Foster and passing now, especially with the balance, with Andre Johnson coming back and Owen Daniels and even
Walter.
Yeah,
Daniels is healthy.
Yeah, so I think they're too much. They're a complete team. And the defense getting slapped around last week. And the corners missing tackles and the safeties missing some tackles.
Yeah, J.J. Watt and those guys will step up. I think that they'll put that coverage, right? They got Joseph back there, and they'll bring the safety over on Megatron. And then they're going to ask Pettigrew and Broles and you know, whoever their third receiver is, now that Titus Young's not there, to step up. And I don't think they have enough. You know, and I don't think LeSure is going to be able to run on that Texan team. Oh, man, Melo, that was a bad charge. 110-103. I'm going to be upset if the Knicks lose this one, but it's okay. We're having a great season. But I'm going to go Texans, but I think Detroit will score, and I think there'll be some points on the board. I'm looking at 26-20 Texans for the early game.
All right. So if I had to put up a score, I'd say 31-23 Texans.
Okay. Well,
and I got Jason Hansen, so you know I need a lot of field goals in that game. Come on, Jason.
you know what? Listen, you talk about what you need. Nobody care about what you need. Your team ain't all that. For me, at least I could watch that first game in peace, because I don't really have any Lions or Texans, so I can watch that game. Now I got to check my opponents, but you know, at least for my stress of what I'm doing, I can be like, let's just watch this game. So then after that game's over, you know, for those who eat early, you get ready to chomp down and start to eat when the Cowboys and Redskins are, you know, getting ready to start. And then those who eat later, sometimes people eat, like, you know, when the Cowboys Redskins are about, like, halftime or something. This is going to be one of those games where I think we're going to see a coming-out party.
Or?
What I like is it was only 15 passes, but RG3 is very accurate. I think Garcon is starting to get healthy. I think with Fred Davis going down, he's starting to, you know, hook up with Logan Paulson, the tight end, and you know, Hankerson, Santana Moss is back. And I think he's fifth in the league in rushing, another rookie up there, and Doug Martin's third. But I think Alfred Morris, I think he's going to be able to, you know, Freddie, I think he's going to be able to do a little something on the Cowboys. I don't like your offensive line. Romo was on the run most of that game, even though he threw for over 300 yards last week against Cleveland. I think the Redskins and Jim Haslett, that defensive coordinator, will, you know, strike up some blitzes and take care of that offensive line. I think the Redskins go into Dallas. RG3, a scrambling quarterback, he'll be ready for DeMarcus Ware, who's in the top five in sacks, you know, sack leaders. I think he'll be ready, and I think that the Redskins are going to pull out a 24-23 upset in Dallas.
Okay.
It's going to be close. It's going to be exciting. But Robert Griffin III will be a star on Turkey Day.
Really? See, I think on the short week at home, as Dallas always does play at home.
You play better on the road, though. You're a better road team
when
you're at home.
You know, they're a better team when their backs are against the wall, when they actually have to deliver. But I just think that the Cowboys will find a way to beat this team. And I think that they'll defend home turf. I think they'll find a way to get enough out of that running game with Tanner and Jones, and they'll piece it together. Yeah, that offensive line is substandard. And
I don't know if Felix is going to play. You might be like Dunbar and Tanner. I mean,
Dunbar
on,
and Tanner, yeah. And to some degree, I hate to say it, but Romo on the run is actually not bad, right? Because he makes plays on the run. Now, he can also throw 2-3 interceptions. So I think that's what it comes down to. It comes down to how many interceptions is Romo going to throw. Because if he can keep it together and not throw his usual 1 or 2 interceptions, not shoot himself in the foot, I think the Cowboys are going to win the game. I think Dez Bryant is a handful. Jason Witten helps move the ball. I think the offensive line, you know, just needs to hold up. Washington isn't the best pass rushing team, especially with their two, you know, early season injuries on the defensive line. I'm looking for Dallas to win this game.
But they'll bless you. They will bless you.
They will. I'm looking for Dallas to win this game. I think Dallas holds turf. I think that the final score is Dallas Cowboys 24, Washington Redskins 20. So Dallas Cowboy hold on and go. Remember that if the Cowboys win this game, they go to 6-5. And the Giants don't play the Packers until Sunday, and they'd be a half a game behind the Packers. And that's right. And that means that the Giants have a little pressure on them. And frankly, the Packers, I still think, you know, when they're playing right, they're the best team potentially in the NFL. So that'd be very
real quick. Jason Kidd on the free throw line, 112-1. 111 down by one, baby. Let's go Knicks.
Oh my God,
I love it. There's nothing like live action. That's how you know this show is not tape delay, folks. We are live. The Knicks are playing ball in Dallas, holding it down. Come on, Knicks.
MSG and HD.
So, honey, what's your score again?
24-20 Cowboys.
Okay. I don't know who's going to get you some rushing yards. You're going to have to get more than 50 rushing yards to win this game, I'm going to tell you that.
Just need enough. Yeah, hopefully we can get this Knicks score in before the end of the game. So we got 115 left.
Let's keep it moving. So we got game 3. This is after the turkey settled. Maybe you've had a little alcoholic adult beverage.
The tryptophan is kicking in.
You know, you're kind of just like enjoying things, laughing with friends and family, and then all of a sudden you turn to NBC and you're like, oh, wait a minute, it's not on NFL Network this year. It's on NBC. Oh, there's Al Michaels. Hi, Chris Collinsworth. How are you?
The
New York Jets at MetLife Stadium hosting the New England Patriots, which earlier this season was a great game that went down to the wire and stuff. So I just, with this, Gronk is out. Aaron Hernandez might play, even if he plays, might not be 100%. I think the Jets are going to muster up something to do what they did last time, put up a great, entertaining game for the fans, but it will not be enough for a W. Bilal Powell, he's going to, you know, have to run the ball, get things
banged
going.
Up a little bit, but he should be all right.
Yeah, he is. We'll see. You know, but I just think with Brady, guess what? He'll find Julian Edelman. He'll find Vereen out of the backfield, Ridley. He'll hit, you know, Brandon Lloyd, Wes Welker. He'll do whatever he needs to do, no matter what the Jets throw at him. And I just think they're really razor sharp right now. Missing Gronk will hurt them, especially running the ball. So I think maybe the Jets will get a break there because the Jets haven't been so great against the run this year. So, you know, but I think watch the Patriots. They'll try to feed Ridley and Vereen a little bit because of the fact of not having Gronk. Maybe they say, hey, we'll just try to, you know, run some misdirection plays and do a little bit of running. But I think for the Patriots to win, they're going to have to get Lloyd's going to have a big game. Lloyd and Welker. Now, you know the Jets will probably have Cromartie on Welker, you know, all over
the
field one-on-one.
So then they'll find Edelman, right? They'll find the weakness in the Jets secondary.
Always.
Remember, they scored 59 points. To me, the problem here is that the Jets can't score enough. So
right.
The Patriots are coming off a 59-point outburst last week. And, of course, that was with Gronkowski, and he's gone for the foreseeable future. But the Jets, Bilal Powell scored twice last week, and they looked pretty good against a pretty, you know, below-average St. Louis Rams team. The Jets just can't score enough to keep pace with this Patriot team. Even without even without Gronkowski, I think they'll still put up 35. And I don't know if the Jets could put up more than 21, 20, 24 at best on this team. So I think it's a double-digit victory for the Patriots. The Jets always play well against the Patriots under the Rex Ryan scheme. So maybe that helps curtail the scoring a little
bit.
They
need turnovers. They need to play like the Bears a couple of weeks ago. That's what they need. When they blitz Brady, sack him, tip the ball in the air, whatever you got to do, they've got to have that. That defense needs to score a touchdown. That's the only way I can see the Jets winning. And, you know, maybe they pull it out. We'll see what happens. But that's what they got to do. You know, I personally think the Patriots are going to probably, you know, win this game 30-20. And maybe the spread's 10.5.
So maybe, thing, yeah. The
maybe they don't cover the spread. 30-20, maybe 30-27. I just think that, you know, Tom Terrific he's the man, you know. Every year he could be up there for conversation for MVP. Because I think he might be more – even though, right, without him, Matt Castle and Belichick, they still had a good season. Brady just does so much. You know, him and Manning, the way they audible, the way they put their players in the right position, the way they change.
Right, and Manning has had more offensive talent around him during the course of his career. All right, Mello for the game winner. He missed it.
Yeah.
All right, so it looks like Dallas is going to win. They're up 112-111, 3.3 seconds left. Mello.
Come on, Mello.
Little 15-footer, and Dallas got the rebound. Little isolation on Sean Marion. Good D.
Yeah.
He fouled him on the elbow.
Good D. Yeah.
I know the Matrix is tough.
Well, Sean Marion and Mello have been battling for years, right? You know, when he was at Phoenix and at Denver.
Yeah.
So that's always
Western
been a good
Conference battles.
Yeah.
So yeah, Knicks can afford a loss. That's all right. It's a long season.
Well, hey, we're gonna smack up Jeremy Lin and Harden on Friday.
That's the big game on Friday.
Oh yeah.
What do you think is gonna happen there when Harden plays the Knicks? You think they're gonna get under his skin a little bit? He's gonna get a little nervous, or you think he'll be cool, calm, and collected?
I think Harden will be fine. That team is interesting. I mean, they've got Terrence Jones playing. I think it's sad the whole Royce White incident. He's not like playing or traveling with the team, and there's like, you know, potential lawsuit. I don't know what's going on there, but
yeah,
they got guys like Greg Smith. Chandler Parsons, for second season, is playing. Him and Patterson are playing from Kentucky.
Chandler
are playing
wasn't
like
even that good at Florida, and he's coming.
You know,
he's one of those
Chandler
rare
Parsons.
Guys that's doing better in the pros than he even did in college.
Well, because he does everything okay, you know. He does everything good enough. So the Knicks need to hit a three-pointer. 114-111.
Yeah, but it's going to be a heave.
Sure.
There you go. Raymond
yeah.
Felton.
All right.
Yeah.
We lost by three at Dallas. You know, that's all right. That's all right. Ray and Tay, bringing it to you live. Knicks fall to, could have been 9-1. We fall to 8-2. You can't complain about that, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
And, the Nets play the Warriors tonight. Huh?
Kind of hurts your defensive. I said it kind of hurts your defensive stats, giving up 114 points to Dallas without
yeah. Wait. But, you know, real quick, looking at this Patriots, what's so fascinating to me, your boy Mayo, Jared Mayo, leading the NFL in tackles with 101 tackles. Never have you seen Patriots, like, defensively, not never, but it's been a long time since the Patriots' defense has been so tough. And shout out to Vaughn Miller at 13 sacks and 15 sacks for Alden Smith. Those guys, man, they're doing big, big things. The NFL is heating up. So, you ready? You ready for the games? You ready for the turkey?
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready to eat.
We got our
turkey,
picks. I guess the only game we're going against each other is Redskins
Cowboys.
And Cowboys.
Yeah.
You know? So, hey, it was a good show. We'll talk to you guys on Friday. We're not taking the holiday off. We will be back, Ray and Tay, on Friday in the evening and get you ready for this big Week 12 and talk about the turkey games. So thanks for joining us, and happy Thanksgiving,
yeah, happy
man.
Thanksgiving, yeah. Be grateful for what you're grateful for, and have fun with your family and friends, and we'll see you guys next time on Friday. Ray and Tay, we're out.
Thanks for talking sports with friends. Peace.